Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. God is good, folks. He cares about us in every way and in every capacity. Every way you can imagine, God cares about us. And when people soften their heart to the Lord, it attracts the Holy Spirit. This is found throughout the Word of God. Anybody that has ears to hear, the most outstanding people in the world, the Holy Spirit found them. And I don't say that lightly. Against all odds, the Holy Spirit always found them and included them in the story to give us clues. And as the Lord permit, I'll point some out today. I thank God for that. Today is September the 2nd. It's a Thursday, 2021. And I thank God for that. Another day that the Lord has made. And every day of God is a good day. Because even your most challenging days, I remember some of the key things in life happened at the most crucial times. And things were not always going pleasant. But when I involved God, I learned something that I couldn't learn any other way. I don't thank God for problems, but I thank Him for helping me throughout the problems. Not just when I have a problem, but throughout it, from the time it begins till it's over with. He helps me with wisdom, with His wisdom, counsel, and might to overcome it. And I learned something new that I did not know before. Now, I was motivated when I began my journey in my relationship with the Lord. It was above what I ever expected. I didn't expect the things to happen the way that they did. I couldn't know that it was going to be that good. So when I preached His word, I knew that anybody that want to know God, they can know Him. And they can have a good relationship with Him. Some people are reluctant. They're just getting started. Some people, they come to church and they got their mind made up. But I have a chance to speak by the Holy Ghost a word that might arrest their attention and might help them out. And sometimes it did. And most of the time, you don't get a report. You may not ever get a report sometimes, but sometimes you do. And sometimes the report is so good, you'll never forget it. Some reports I've gotten happened many years later after the fact. But people gave their life back to God. I'm going to tell you something. When people give their life to Jesus Christ, it's a personal thing to them. Nobody really knows where a person stands unless they reveal it. Most people, when they don't have a good relationship with God, they don't admit it. They don't say anything. They might go to church, but that don't mean they're in love with God. They may go for their own reasons. Part of them wants to know God. Part of them is angry with God or angry at what happened against their life. And they blame God because the enemy, when he fights us, he always targets our relationship with God. That's always the target. That's why Israel is hated. That's why the church is demonized among the world. The wicked of the world demonize the church. And by the deception of Satan, you know, Paul said that the way of truth would be evil spoken of. And a lot of times it's evil spoken of by fellow brothers in the Lord. Differences of opinion. Different methods of doing things. People that don't teach, that don't warn people well against sin, that offends people that know that sin is going to cut your head off. And, you know, the ability to deal with people beyond their whatever's wrong. Remember something, though. We all share something that's just not right. We may have opinions that's no good. We may have belief systems that are misnomers, like I ended yesterday's broadcast talking about. The Lord revealed things that was just it wasn't true. And the Holy Spirit cannot use something that's not true. But He loves us. He loves us and He works with us. So when you see a fellow brother in a fault, instead of you can take the normal way and just talk against it, or you can ask the Lord for wisdom. If a person's interested in God at all, if there's something there for God to work with, maybe God can help them out. If they're sinister, God's, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Lord's going to harden their heart, and they're not going to have a mind to come back. That's why he said, I'm going to read it. I've been referring to scriptures a lot lately. And when I do that, sometimes I leave things out that should be mentioned. So I'm going to still refer to scriptures when I have to. But when I have a little time, I'm going to go back to the scriptures so I don't miss out on something. I've caught myself. I could have said that a little better, you know, when I listen to these broadcasts myself to see how it flows and how things go. And sometimes I refer to scriptures, and I'm known for messing stuff up sometimes. So I don't want to. When it happens, I trust that you love God enough to go and research it. If you find something wrong, forgive me, and I mean well. Okay, let's look at the church at Laodicea, because I refer to this one a lot. Here it is. Now, in my, I'm looking at it on my cell phone. I got the Bible app on my phone. I got the King James Version as well. And I love the King James Version because it's more accurate, and they didn't kick scriptures out. Let's look at the, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14 in Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Jesus is talking to John. Write. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's the word of God. The beginning of his creation is the word, because he made everything else with his words. And Jesus is his words. He said, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. They're not all the way wicked. They're not all the way on fire either. I would that thou were cold or hot. Now, don't forget that. This is a protocol. This is the heart of God talking here. This is the heart of the Father, the heart of Jesus, and the heart of the Holy Ghost talking here. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish, it's my will, so to speak, I would that thou were cold or hot. It's God's will that thou were cold or hot. And that's how it is for everyone. Now remember something about the Lord. He is protecting creation. He must protect creation. He has to protect creation. Because it's justice. Now, he has to create, to protect creation. If I'm a threat to it, he has to protect creation from me. If it's your best friend, he has to protect creation from the grips of your best friend. So it is with your parents, your siblings, your friends, your children. Whoever has a mind to side with Satan, he must protect his creation from them. But to help us out and to rescue us from sin and help us drive it out of our life, he gave us Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. If he went to the trouble to wash our sins away with the blood of his only begotten Son, and his only begotten Son was willing to do this, he cut a covenant so that he would make sure it happened. God made sure that this would happen. And it happened. He finished his covenant with Abraham and Isaac. And because he did so, we must understand that he's serious about shutting sin down. See, remember, the Lord has a protocol in all that he does. When people make a decision, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would. It's my choice. It's my will that you were either cold or hot. And he says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, this is showing us that there's something dangerous about being cold or lukewarm. Sin works like leaven, and the word also works like leaven. But the word, it builds up as we receive it. But sin is infectious. It takes over as we allow it, or if you do nothing at all. So when people are lukewarm, they're not passionate about the things of God. They're not in love. Their love walk has been neutered, so to speak. Just like you neuter a dog and they can't produce puppies, they become unfruitful. You know, when you go back and look at the parable of the sower, the seed that was sown among thorns, the bad weeds and thorns, they took everything that it took for that plant to bear fruit. The lust of other things entering in and sin itself, it causes people to be fruitless. They can't bear fruit. They can't fall. It does something to your appetite for God. It works against your appetite to help others. It works against your own will, and you become fruitless. What is fruit? The fruits of the Spirit is in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, and temperance. All the things you need, long suffering. When you don't have, you can see sin happening. You can see people in despair and say nothing at all. When people ask you a question about the Lord, you know, if you're fruitless, you might complain instead of sharing the word that can be a blessing. You can hear about abortion and think nothing of it. That's just something that people ought to just stop worrying about. When you're lukewarm, when people are getting their heads cut off, you don't even think to pray. It's a lot of things happen when people are lukewarm. But the best, I said, Lord, I need to understand lukewarm. He gave me King Saul. He was sitting in the seat of Moses as the king of Israel. Whatever he say goes. But he tried to kill the man that was better than him. He didn't have a love for what was right. He loved power. His love for power blinded him and caused him to be fruitless against God. Now, this is what God is spitting out. He don't just go around haphazardly spitting folks out of his mouth or kicking people out of his kingdom. He loves us all and he cares about us. We're very important to him. Even the people he has to do something. He has to take a position after we take a position. This is something people must understand. He has to protect creation from sin. And people, sin can't work by itself. It has to have a host. So when people are living to do wrong, God has to take an action, whether he wants to or not. Now, just before I did this broadcast, he's about to return. He said you're going to be a missing person. this is very close, folks. I can't make this stuff up. But he keeps telling me things about his soon return, and he's been doing that since 2017, and he started in 2016. In 2016, I thought we had a few more years. In 2017, I thought we had a few months. That's why I said in yesterday's broadcast that I was surprised to see 2021 in the first place. And now his return is imminent, even more so than it was in 2021. But he was sharing with me not to let it bother me that he has to judge people that have sided with the world. because this is not, this is something he has to do. It doesn't matter who it is. He's got to do this. That's what he's telling the lukewarm church. He said, verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now watch this. He's responding to something. He said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that not that thou art wretched and miserable." They're miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let's examine this a little bit. "Because you say, you saying this." Now God didn't tell them to do this. This is the position that they took of their own free will. "Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They're exposed. They're defenseless. They have no authority, because only covenant people have authority. They're without, they laid their crown down. They laid their priestly garments down. They're not in covenant with God, so that you understand they don't have authority. That's why the lukewarm church can't fight. They're blind. They don't know that they don't have their armor on. Lukewarm Christians think that they have it made. They call themselves kings and priests because they consider themselves to still be in covenant with God. They don't see that they don't share his love. They don't do his ways. They don't think like God anymore. They forgot that they needed a savior. They think whatever they're doing right, they're doing God a favor. They come to believe that they deserve salvation, and they don't. They're blind. They're poor. They're without wealth, spiritual wealth, I mean. Now, he mentioned that they're increased with goods. They have possessions, but they don't have spiritual wealth. When a person gets to this point, they have possessions. That doesn't mean they have spiritual wealth. When you go about doing good like Jesus did, you're rewarded. Heaven is backing you. Heaven's not backing a lukewarm man or woman. They don't know that they are wretched and miserable. They're depressed and they don't understand why. They act the part. When people are hurting and they have a beef with God, they don't go and talk about it. But when you say something that helps, then they make a change. And years later, they may talk about it, how they felt. People don't like to be vulnerable. Nobody likes to be seen vulnerable. But sometimes when the people that really won't help, they talk about how they feel, because they don't want to be miserable anymore. They're better off than a lukewarm person that's trying to save face. Now let's look at some things. We're going to come back to verse 17 before we get to the counsel of God. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Now Peter, I love that. This is one of my favorite sets of scriptures. This tells you how to have backbone, how to go forward, how to walk in covenant. He said, let's go back to the, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant of and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Now watch this. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." This is where things are multiplied, not possessions. Possessions are added. But this is grace and peace multiplied. Grace, that's the knowledge of God. Anything you can receive from God is grace, from salvation to the might of the Holy Ghost. The authority that Jesus gave us is a grace. Our calling is a grace. The anointing God gives us is grace. So instead of saying listing salvation and the anointing and your office or the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, he said grace. That's all of it. That's the fruits of the Spirit. That's the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the guidance of the Holy Ghost, salvation itself, and a relationship with Father God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our and of Jesus our Lord. Consider that. Verse 3, according to as his divine power has given unto us all things, see, there it is again, all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's the grace, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. This is what God has given us, all things, the whole kingdom. And Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, all of it. All of it. And it causes spiritual wealth to mount up on your life, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See, John talked about Christ being formed in you. When God is formed in you, you can't sin. You cannot sin when you partake of the divine nature. I'm sorry nobody told you that before. Sometimes preachers don't connect the dots, but the Holy Ghost does. I always wonder, you know, people danced around scriptures. They said, well, you won't habitually sin. I've heard all that, but and they mean well. I'm not knocking the preachers, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying that when God is formed in you, when you're born of God, you cannot sin. That is true, considering what he just said here. He said that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch this. And beside this, giving all diligence, this is how you do it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now virtue, I covered that yesterday. Virtue, I asked the Lord his interpretation of this word virtue. I looked it up and I wasn't satisfied. But he said that word virtue is the amount of God's word inside your heart. So, When you fill your heart with his word, that's where your faith comes from. That's what you live from. You live from the heart, not the mind. Besides this, giving all diligence, make it your business, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, as you gain knowledge, you got to have temperance. You can't just go rushing. You can't be rash with knowledge. See, when people are rash with knowledge, they lose it or they mess up. But to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. You see how this the governing works of the of grace helps us out. God is helping us to govern what we're learning. Paul said, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 6 again. And to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, you're learning and you're learning things people don't see. But you got brotherly kindness. You never stop having brotherly kindness. Be patient when people don't see. You can put effort into learning things. You will learn things that others miss out on. The dots are being connected for you. But that's just a grace. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. God has given it to you. So be patient with people that don't see what you see. Very important. On top of brotherly kindness, add to brotherly kindness, charity. Love. Now, this word charity is love in action. Now, watch this now. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, now here we go back to Laodicea. He that lacks these things is blind. There's that word again. They don't know that they're dumb. They don't know that they're disconnected. They don't know that they're naked. They don't know that they're without authority. They still think they got authority. And the devil knows that they don't have authority. So the devil want to keep them in this lukewarm condition. So when they rebuke him, the devil will act like he left. He'll even set them up. I know how Satan works. If you're weak, he'll make you think you're strong. That's why you can't go by. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. We did this and that. If you don't have a relationship, now God can do things even through a person that's lukewarm. That don't mean that they're right with God. And the gifts and the miracles that happen, that don't mean that you're sanctioned. That don't mean that you're not blind and naked. The devil will play games with you. You have to go by the word of God. And you have to rebuke him for real in Jesus' name. And he's got to go whether he wants to or not. So you can't go by the goodies. You can't go by this. You know, then Satan is an artist of deception. And he'll do anything to deceive. He'll give you whatever you want. And you're wrong as two left shoes. I mean, when he gives something, it's deception. He just don't fight, and you attain things. And he manipulate people to help you. He can do it. He got a lot of millionaires in his pocket. And you really don't want money from wicked people like you think you do. Whenever Moses, this is something the Lord helped me see recently. Recently, I should have saw it a long time ago, but that was an ordinance. If they took the spoils of war, they couldn't just keep it. They had to burn it through the fire. If it was metal, it had to go through fire. If it was perishable, it had to go through water. Then it had to be cleansed before they could bring it into the camp. But when Gideon, when he took the earrings of his enemies, it was a snare to him. And then, you know, after the next thing you know, he got all these wives and had all these sons. Then he had a son that was just crazy. It was a snare to him. All right, now continue. Verse 9. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you should never fall. If you're faithful with the things that he just listed from verse 5 to verse 8, this applies to people who are faithful with everything he wrote between 5 and 8. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you should never fall. Never fall. You can't sin when God is formed in you. Verse 9 now. That's the people that rejected to do what's between 5 and 8. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. He's back to square one all over again. He had Jesus. He knew him. He loved him. He went lukewarm. Now he's back to, he's in a lukewarm condition. He don't see that he's blind. He can't tell he lukewarm now. But the problem with lukewarm people, they won't budge. They keep doing things that's not right. And they can't bear fruit. They're sterile to life. They're not sterile clean. They're sterile. They can't produce fruit. Now, Jesus is warning. He warned us well. He said, in chapter 3, get it back. Okay, here we go. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's the protocol of God. If you won't budge. The latest thing that the Lord told me about lukewarm people, they won't budge. They stay in their condition and they don't change. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now watch this. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You see that? There it is again, the old ordinance of Moses, gold tried in the fire, purified riches, and white garments, which represent righteousness of God, of Jesus, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. This is the counsel of God. This is what his devoted love for you is telling you to do if you're lukewarm, or to anybody that is lukewarm. He's counseling us to bow of gold, bow of me, bow of Jesus, gold tried in the fire. See, when people take riches from wicked people, that's an extension of them. You don't want their evil that's on their goods. They got it with their evil life and their evil doings. You got to burn it. And then it'll be cleansed. But we don't have spoils of war like they used to as much. But consider who's giving you money and why. God don't receive everything of everyone. If people pay tithes and they have something against their brother, they got strife against their brother, then God, you leave that money at the altar and go get it right with your brother. Because obedience is always better than sacrifice, even tithes. But who preaches that? Get things right, then give. And a lot of things are stalled because people have disobeyed those things. We have to destroy. See, if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. Take these things serious. God has a protocol, and it's very important.